Matthew 16, and we've done a little of this already, the great public confessions, and I'm going to preach from the subject. Jesus is thankful. Jesus is thankful for us. Matthew 16, verses 13 through 18. Amen. Says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I am? Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias, and others say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Father, we thank you this Thanksgiving Day. Thank you for the testimony of your people. They've recognized and they've accepted you as Lord and Savior, and they know that you have been good to them. Amen. They thank you for their families, Father God, that you gave them. We thank you for the memories of loved ones long gone, but not to be forgotten. Amen. We thank you, Father God, that we have good memories of our loved ones. Father God, we thank you for you being you and giving us the desire to even want to come out on Thanksgiving Day and be with the people of God and hear from you. And we thank you in Jesus' name today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I have my notes on the table, and Jenny come in and look at them and say, that's what all y'all have for Thanksgiving. And she's seeing the turkey, and I had the turkey sacrifice of Jesus. And it's my way of putting notes together. But when you put the meal together, and many of us are going to go home today, and we're going to have a meal, and we're going to have a lot of things on the table. But when you look at the turkey, look at the turkey as symbolic of Jesus Christ's sacrifice. Uh-huh. See, the Word of God said, without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. So the turkey on Thanksgiving to me represents God's sacrifice at Calvary. Okay? And now we look at the other stuff. But inside the turkey is the stuff. Mm-hmm. Is dressing. And really, because God is love, when I put all that cranberry sauce on the dressing today, the dressing represents God's love. Now we get to all our sides. Now, I don't know what your favorite side is or your favorite side is. I know what my favorite side is, but if I was with you guys, it'd be Sharon's potato salad. That'd be good. But the sides represents all the attributes of God. His faith, his grace, his mercy. I don't know what your side is, but if your favorite side is a certain thing, think about God's mercy. I heard mercy in your testimonies. I heard grace in your testimonies. I heard faith in your testimonies. I heard the side of peace. We've been talking about the Beatitudes. How about the side of forgiveness? Amen. One of those sides. Yeah. What about the sides of meekness? Mm-hmm. But when I think about the turkey, I think about the things that make Jesus thankful. Jesus is thankful for our praises. He's thankful when we praise him and when we confess him publicly, when we confess him boldly. Jesus is thankful. And I just want to talk about a few folks that Jesus was thankful. And these few folks, we ought to find ourselves as believers. I thought about Mark 16 first, because Jesus thanked Peter for his statement of faith, his courageous, bold confession publicly of who Jesus was. Because remember, when it talks about Jesus was walking through the coast of Caesarea Philippi, those were all the idols were. All the idols were there. And when Jesus got among all them idols, and we live in a world where we live among all types of idols, all types of things get our attention and is vying for our love and affection. And Jesus stops in the midst of all these idols and asks Peter. Not that he needed to know himself. He knew who he was, and he wanted his disciples to know exactly who he was. So he asked Peter, he asked Peter, because he probably knew Peter was going to ask. He knew everything. But he asked all the disciples, he said, "Whom do men say that I am?" And he gave out all the things that he most likely had heard. And they said, some say John the Baptist, and some say Elijah, and some say Jeremiah. But he stopped them and asked them again, "But whom say ye that I am?" Peter's answer is profound in a lot of ways, and it ought to be ours. It ought to be our answer, because the world is asking the church, who is Jesus Christ? And then we've dumbed it almost down where we don't have that boldness. Where we don't have that boldness where we want to say Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We want to stand on John 3 and 16, where Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life." This is what Peter's answer consists of. Peter said, he said it, and he said it profoundly. I believe he said it big and strong and loud. And Peter answered, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Not like these dead gods that's all around. Not like these idols made of wood and stone. But thou art the Son of the living God. He was the Son of the living God. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Is that your God? He's the Son of the living God. Is your God the God of John 14, 6, where Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me." The only way you're going to come to the Father is through a living God. Through a living God. Jesus had finished the parables, the Sermon on the Mount, and he was walking with a great gathering behind him in Luke chapter 7. Our great faith makes Jesus thankful. The word of God says in Luke 7, 1 through 11, it says, "Now when he had ended all his saying," he had been preaching the Sermon on the Mount, and it says, "And in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum," that was his headquarters, "and a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus," put your finger on that, "when he heard of Jesus," when the centurion heard of Jesus, "he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when he came to Jesus, he besought him instantly, saying, for he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue." And then Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, "Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter unto my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come into thy, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. Watch this, people. For I am also a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth. And when Jesus heard these things, he's talking about making Jesus thankful. And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said to all the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith in all of Israel. Listen, people, what is happening here? What is happening here? First of all, when you look at verse number 3, he heard of Jesus. He heard that Jesus had the power to heal. He heard that Jesus had the power to cast out demons and cast out leprosy and cast out all types of sickness and disease. Jesus was healing all throughout the land, and somebody had testified to him of the greatness of Jesus. But he says here, he says, I'm a man of authority. How about that? Minister Madison works at JJC. He's a man of authority. He got folks that have to answer to him. And he say, look, you need to go over here. You need to go. You need to come here. You need to come. Okay? Amen. That's what this man is saying. I'm a man set under authority. He said, I can call shots on a certain level. But he's saying to Jesus, but if you just say a word, he said, you just say a word, you can make the wind stop blowing. Okay? He said, you can make the rain stop falling. And he said, if all you have to do is say a word, you don't have to come under my house. You just say a word. And it's done. What was he saying? His great faith in what Jesus could do. Marvel. Jesus marveled at it. That word marvel means he was impressed. He was impressed. And I asked the question, does your faith impress Jesus? Does your faith impress Jesus? I mean, I'm old school. Some of y'all old school. I'm old school. I remember the old Red Fox. Remember Red Fox? Anytime something happened that impressed him, that he was startled by, he would say, Elizabeth, I'm coming home. Okay? Because somebody had done something so profound or so crazy that it impressed him that way. Now, I'm not putting Jesus and Red Fox in the same category. Don't get me wrong. Okay? But I'm sitting here. Is there something going on in our world? Is our faith impressing Jesus? When we sit back and we do things that we know, I can't do this on my own. There's no way that I can do this. Let God be with me. And then we do it. I think about Peter and when Jesus had walked on water and calmed the water, calmed the sea, told the wind to stop blowing. And then Peter said, if it's you, Lord, if it's you, call me, let me come out to you. And the word of God says that Peter walked on water. Peter walked on water. Now, this brother here is impressing Jesus. Now, if you want to YouTube something, YouTube this story. It's on YouTube. YouTube the story of the centurion servant. He's a big, big, giant man with swords and a shield, and he's coming to Jesus, begging Jesus to heal his servant. Jesus, I haven't seen that kind of faith in all of Israel. Let me say what he's saying about it when he said that. He said, I've seen these folks from Israel. They walked across dry land. They seen manna and quail fall from the sky. They seen the walls of Jericho just fall because we was walking around it. And they still don't have the faith of this centurion soldier, this Gentile. See, we have faith today as a gimmick, like a plaque. I think we make little funny sayings, little biblical sayings. We sell them to the Christian bookstore. And some of them make sense, but if we don't put them in place, okay? I was over at somebody's house, And I looked on the wall and said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It was on the wall. And there was a whole lot of stuff going on in that house. See, we make little cute sayings about our faith, but faith is important. Because the Word of God said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So what I'm saying here is, take an example. You want to please God? Have great faith. Do something great for God. Do something when you get done doing it. When you're finished doing it, you'll know God was in this.
Amen.
See, I remember studying Henry Blackaby. Henry Blackaby said, you know what? God's not going to call you to do anything that you can do on your own. Because if you do, you're going to take the credit for it. And if you can do it on your own, you don't need the Lord. Step out. Let me give you one more. Maybe a two. Maybe three. I have seven altogether. How about the story of the Syrophoenician woman? Y'all know the story of the Syrophoenician woman, the Canaanite woman that came to Jesus because her daughter, the Bible says that her daughter was grievously vexed with a devil. Matthew 15 and 28, it says, the woman, behold, the woman of Cana came out into the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. She had the right Jesus. Let me tell you, before you call on the Lord, you better make sure you got the right one. Y'all said that too soon. You better make sure you got the right Jesus. Because folks say, well, I'm praying for you. You asked him, who you praying to? I'm praying to God. Which God? Because there's a whole lot of gods out there. Let me tell you something. Y'all know, Wednesday night folks know. Listen, I'm praying to the God of heaven. Okay? I'm praying to Jesus Christ, who was born of a virgin. Walked this earth for 33 and a half years, never committed a sin. Died on Calvary's cross. Was buried in a borrowed tomb. And on the third day, he rose from the grave. And now he's sitting at the right hand of the Lord. Now, when somebody says, well, I'm praying for you. Because I want to ask them sportscasters every time something tragic happened on TV and you hear the news anchors and the sportscasters, well, our thoughts and our prayers go out to you. Well, that ain't enough for me. Okay? I want to know who they're going to. Because everybody in praying to the right God.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. She had the right God. She said, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. She said, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Let me say something, young folks in here. We as parents, when you hurt, we hurt. Okay, let me say that again. When you struggle, we struggle. When Satan has you grievously vexed, we're grievously vexed.
Amen.
When you're taking us through hell and high, when you're going through hell and high water, we are going through.
Amen.
Oh, that's the truth. That's just the truth. See, you're not struggling by yourself. When my daughter struggles, I'm struggling. When I hear she's struggling, my heart is weakened and torn apart. And this woman said, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil, but she's asking the Lord to have mercy on her.
Amen.
Because of what her daughter is going through. And glorious just means granddaughters too. But he answered her not a word. Now that's interesting. He answered her not a word. See, how do you deal when you ask God and he don't answer you? Do you just fold up the tent and turn on one of the Dr. Phil or somebody? No. This woman came here looking for an answer. And she came to the right place. He didn't answer her. He gave her a pause. And then the disciples came in, verse number 24 says, but he answered not a word. His disciples came in and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That would have been enough to turn most of us away. Not this woman. She had this determined faith. She had this largeness of faith that we need to have. We're going to get through. If we're going to get through, we can't have this wishy-washy, fickle, corny type faith. We got to have a faith that can stand up under pressure, under trials. When God says no, can you wait on him? Can you wait on him? When God is silent, can you wait on him? This woman made the Lord thankful. She made the Lord thankful. Watch what happened. And then she came after he started talking to her. After he said that, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This is what the Bible says. Then she came and worshiped him. She never left. See, we setting up tents outside of Best Buy. This woman said, well, let me tell you what you do. All I'm going to do, I'm going to set up a tent outside of your headquarters. And when you open the door, I'm coming in. I'm going to worship you because I'm serious about getting this prayer answered. I'm serious about my daughter. I'm serious about my son. I'm serious about my granddaughter. See, we moaning and groaning about the crime rate and our children are bad. But do we have this type of faith? Are we fasting and praying down on our knees and pleading with the Lord to have mercy on our children? Listen, and he answered her, like this, verse 26. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. This woman was taking it. He was testing her. He was calling her out, seeing that she was real. See, many of us already been gone. We wouldn't have had no answer here. Now she is challenged by the Lord, and the Lord will challenge you. He will call your faith to question. Amen. Listen to her answer though. And she said, truth. Truth. She had no other answer because whatever Jesus said was truth. Okay? Let God be true and every man a liar. So whatever came out of his mouth, she knew it was going to be true. See, whatever the Bible says, we know it's the word of God. We know it's true. But we got to take pages out of ours. Amen. I don't like that. That don't fit how, I'm going to take that out too. No, she said true. Didn't matter what he would have said. He'd have said, turn around, spin around three times and do 20 push-ups. She'd have jumped down there and did them. True. Lord. Put the Lord behind it. Put the Lord behind it. Lord. Yet, the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Man, that's a handful there. You know, she's saying a few things there. She said, there's power in the crumbs. She said, there's power in the crumbs. She said, there's power in the crumbs. I'll take what's left. But she's saying, listen, Lord. The crumbs are so powerful. All it would take to heal my daughter is a crumb. She said, I'm not asking for a loaf of bread. I'm just asking for a crumb. She said, a crumb will do the work that's necessary to deliver my daughter from this demon. Now watch this. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Great is thy faith. Be it unto you even as you will. And her daughter was made whole the very hour. Listen, folks, God ain't planned. God ain't planned. There's power in the crumbs that fall from the Lord's table. See, sometimes you may come in this church service and you may feel like, well, that wasn't a real good service for me. But listen, just look for a crumb. Just look for a crumb. See? Just look for a crumb. That's all you may need that day is a crumb. Somebody else may need the whole loaf. But you may just need a crumb. Her daughter was healed. Her daughter was healed. I got a couple more. Can y'all hang with me on Thanksgiving Day? Thank you. Thanks for the amen. Love you, Rhonda, when you were in the house. Y'all know this story well. These are familiar. Look at this story, Luke 17. Hang in there. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, I like this, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men. 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. I listened to that brother's testimony. Well, we was in that leper camp, weren't we? Man, we got out of that leper camp. Hallelujah. Got out of the leper camp. And he entered into a certain village, and there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They had to stay afar off. They weren't allowed to come close to people. Now, honestly, I believe this was a old church choir. Y'all know all kind of mess started in the choir. There was a choir. Luke, hang in there with me, Elmer. Listen, why? Here they in the background. Listen how the scripture go. This is a choir. Look at verse 13. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, Savior. I mean, they probably, have mercy on us. Mm. And when he saw them, Jesus, when he saw them, he said unto them, go, show thyself to the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Now, y'all pay attention now. There's a difference being cleansed and being made whole. Okay? See, some folks get cleansed. And they never made it whole. You do your hospital visit, they got IVs all in them. When I get out of church, when I get out of this hospital, I'm coming to church. Oh, when I get out of hospital, I'm coming to church. You never see him again. Till they're in the hospital again. Listen. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Now, let me talk about this when he saw that he was healed. Because he a leper. And I believe these brothers would have been in probably full-blown leprosy. Now, when a leper moved, a foot might fall off or a hand might fall off or an ear. The Bible says, the historians say that the rats hung around the leper camp. They hung around the leper camp because the leper couldn't feel no pain, and the rats would eat their feet off at night. They wouldn't know. Okay? So for a leper to even move, he was losing something. Some of y'all watch these zombie movies. That's what a leper camp would have looked like. Okay, see, the zombie movies got a little bit of, a little biblical twist to it, because that's what a leper would have looked like. Body parts falling off and all that. Ears falling off, noses falling off. All that would have been happening at a leper camp. Now, it says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, the other one saw that he was healed too. And they kept on moving. They kept on moving. See, we want to make the Lord happy. He loves us when we're grateful. See, we live in an ungrateful world. And some ungrateful folks. And we know some of us will say, well, we got some ungrateful kids. We got some, I was at the gym the other day. And a guy next to me in the locker. And he was talking to his friend. And he said, I got to work all week because of it. Blankly blank Thanksgiving. Just like that. Okay? He put the MF in front of Thanksgiving. He said, I got to work all week because of MF Thanksgiving. Wow. And I'm like, okay, yeah. I'm like, y'all know I be listening to everything. I don't miss a whole lot. And I'm like, wow. So ungrateful. So ungrateful. Got a job to go to. Got enough money to have a membership at the gym. Oh, Lord have mercy. Listen. And when, excuse me, verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. Have you ever turned back? Have you ever turned back? Thank you, Jesus. And with a loud voice, glorify God. Now, y'all know if he was doing this on Wednesday night, we'd probably spend a couple months on this verse, on this text. I'm going to give y'all the condensed version, but on Wednesday night, we get the long version. Let me tell you something. First thing happens to a leper, you lose your voice. Your vocal cords are rotted away. Okay? So when this man cried out with a loud voice, he was letting all them folks that was following Jesus know that I'm healed, that I've been delivered, that I am saved, that I've been made whole. He cried with a loud voice, I got my power back. See, we remember when Jesus Christ was on the cross. When he was on the cross, and everybody would have thought, well, Jesus, is he done now? The Bible said he cried with a loud voice. Why did he cry with a loud voice? To let all them naysayers out there know, listen, y'all ain't doing nothing here. I'm just doing what I came to do. Okay? He was letting them know that I still got all power. And I can come off this cross if I wanted to. Oh boy, I'm glad he didn't. I'm glad he didn't come off. And it says, look at this. And Jesus answering verse 17. Excuse me, but let me go back to verse 16. He not only, he cried with a loud voice and glorified God. Glorified God. God of heaven. God of grace. God of mercy. God of love. God of peace. God of joy. He had it all back. He had it all back. And he was coming back to thank the Lord. And the Bible says he fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. He was a Samaritan. I'm not going to go into that. And Jesus' answer said, were not 10 cleansed. Were not 10 cleansed. But where are the 9? You know what? Let me tell you where the 9 was at. One of the 9 probably said, well, I'm gonna wait and see if it's real. One probably said, well, I want to see if it would last. The other one said, well, I'll get back to Jesus later. Okay. And then, you know, there got to be one that's total denial. I never had leprosy. Huh? It wasn't me. I never had leprosy. I was on a cruise all them years. And then another one would have said, well, I'd have got well anyway. And another one would have gave glory to the priest. Because, you know, there's some folks out there, you know, would have took him right on in. Made money off of them. You know, I healed them. Okay? Everybody went to Simon the Sorcerer. And another one would have said, well, Jesus didn't do anything anyway. Another one would have said, well, I was getting better anyway. See, we all make up all these reasons why we don't want to give God glory. But all of us in here, we have reasons to give God glory. Amen. We all have reason to give God glory. I thank God for your testimonies today. We have reason to give God glory. And we ought to just thank God that the house of God is open where we can still give God glory, because that time is coming. We might not be able to publicly give God glory. Let me give you this last one. I swear this is the last one. Jesus. I hear you, Ann. I shouldn't do that, should I? Listen. Jesus is thankful. Y'all, here's my favorite one. It's almost like I'm giving y'all a review of my the favorite sermons I preached over the years I've been here. Here's this one. Y'all probably know it, top of my list. Desperate faith. Unrelenting faith. Determined faith. Y'all know the story. Mark 2, verse 1. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days. And it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive him, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Jesus was a preacher of the word. He was a preacher of the gospel. And if folks are coming for any other reason, he preached the gospel to them. Here's our text. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy. Sick of the palsy. No movement in his body. Just not able to even move. Probably just could even just barely talk. They bring in him one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. I always ask the question. You got four friends that'll get you to Jesus if you're sick? Think about your four best friends. Some of us don't even have four best friends. Think about your very best friend, somebody you can count on. Will that person get you to Jesus? Will that person talk to you about the Jesus that we know? It says, and they come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which is born of four, carried by four on a cart. And when they could not come nigh unto him by the press, they uncovered the roof. They uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven. Listen, people. Amen. Just so somebody said, that's what we called it back a couple years ago. Four of a kind beats a full house. See, the full house wasn't letting Jesus in. Wouldn't let the man get to Jesus. And see, some folks won't let you get to Jesus. Are you hanging around folks that won't let you get to Jesus? Crowds ain't always good. Crowds ain't always good. Here's a man trying to get to Jesus. And Jesus saw their faith. What did he see? What did he see that caused him to bless this man? He seen determined faith. He seen four men that were determined to get their loved ones to Jesus. You know, and I sit here and I think about Claire going down to the hospital every day, talking to Spanky every day, fixing the meals, talking about Jesus. And if he don't see the love of Jesus and what she doing, he'll never see it. He'll never see it. See, sometimes God is looking for unrelenting faith. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something to get your loved one to Jesus. Amen. It's going to cost you something to get anyone to Jesus. If God going to use you, it's going to cost you. If God going to use you, it's going to cost you. Amen. See, we got to make sure, people, that we have the right stuff. I thought about this. Anybody ever been in one of those simulators? You get inside of it, and it makes you think you flying through the galaxy. You really ain't going nowhere. You just in a simulator. And what I mean by that, some of us in here, we've been saved. We've been born again. We've been baptized. But do we have the right stuff? Do we have a faith that we can stand on? Do we have a faith like the Syrophoenician woman? Do we have the faith of Peter when we can boldly confess, no matter where we at, Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? Do we? Do we have that kind of boldness? Do we have that kind of boldness? Do we have the boldness of the centurion soldier? That we have that kind of faith? Well, he says, listen, I'm going to tell you something. I know what you can do, Jesus, and I'm counting on you. Do we have that kind of faith, or do we have bootleg faith? Flea market. I call it flea market faith. Mm-hmm. You know, we go to flea market, and we get a $500 purse for $20. And a couple weeks later, all the buttons fell off of it. Cindy didn't have a few of those. I didn't buy it. I don't know. There's a song back in the day. How'd it go? Ain't nothing like what? Ain't nothing like the real thing. Ain't nothing like the real thing. Father, thank you. Thank you this Thanksgiving, Father God, for the real thing. For the real thing, Father God. Thank you for a faith that get us out on Thanksgiving Day morning. When a whole lot of folks is just sitting around getting ready to watch the football games and eat turkey and ham and just lay around and just. There was a time, Father God, Thanksgiving was a time where we just got drunk and drank and looked for the party to go to. But you came into our lives and you changed us, Father God. Thank you for taking the taste out of our mouths. Thank you for delivering us, Father God, and saving our souls. And then giving us a heart for the things of God. Giving us a heart and desire to be among God's people on Thanksgiving. Giving us a heart to want to even hear what thus say the Lord on Thanksgiving. But most of all, give us a heart of thanksgiving. We thank Him for our wives, Father God. I thank you for my wife, Father God. I thank you for her, Father God. And I thank you for her love and her faithfulness, her commitment to ministry and the things of God. I just thank you, Father God. Your word says, who finds a good wife have received a gift from the Lord. And I know I'm not by myself in here because I hear your testimonies. But I thank you, Father God. I thank you for my children, Father God. Keep me on my knees. They keep me on my knees, Father God, and they keep me praying and they keep me fasting and hoping, Father God. I was talking to Blanche this morning, Father God, and she was talking about her son, Father God. And you know when I say Blanche, I say to Blanche, and I say to some of you, you know what? In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul received a thorn in the flesh. Amen. To keep him humble. To keep him on his knees. And sometimes God will put something in our lives just to keep us on our knees. To keep us dependent on him. It may be a habit. It may be a relationship. It may be an addiction. It may be a person. It may be a job. But God is good. And he needs our prayers and he needs our gratitude. He needs to hear us boldly proclaim him as Lord and Savior. And a dying sinful world, Father God, I thank you for everything in Jesus' name. Amen.